Welcome to the Summit Church Sermon of the Week. For more information about this podcast and other resources, please visit summitsanmarcos.com.
Today I want to talk about a mother's faith, so I just want to pray first. Father, I pray that you would just direct this word exactly where you want it. We yield to you. We recognize the power of your Holy Spirit in this room and present here today. We just bless you in Jesus' name. And somebody said, amen. How many know children come up with some of the most interesting ideas? Some of your children come up with interesting ideas. Have you ever listened to what children say? Sometimes you have them on mute, but sometimes, like, you know, you really catch some things. Well, they asked some of the children to write. So these are some of the things that children wrote on Mother's Day. So here's one of them. Angie, 8-year-old, wrote, "Dear Mom, I'm going to make dinner for you on Mother's Day. It's going to be a surprise." And then she puts, "P.S. I hope you like pizza and popcorn." Not much of a surprise. This one's my favorite. Little Robert wrote, "I got you a turtle for Mother's Day. I hope you like the turtle better than the snake I got you last year." I'll never forget. My mom was petrified of snakes because she grew up on a farm and one slithered under her foot. She stepped on it barefooted, so she hated snakes. I was a stinker, so one time I said, "Close your eyes and open your hand, and I have a surprise for you." And I had a little, I think it was a king snake, and I just take this little snake, and she puts out her palm, and I set this king snake in the palm of her hand. She opens her eyes, ah, and it hits the ground. She was like, "You stinker." I was a stinker. Anyway, moving right along. Little Eileen wrote, "Dear Mom, I wish Mother's Day wasn't always on Sundays. It'd be better if it was on Mondays so we wouldn't have to go to school." Got it. Little Diane wrote, "I hope you like the flowers I got you for Mother's Day." Cool, huh? Little kid, resourceful. "I picked them myself when Mrs. Smith wasn't looking." Some neighbor, all our roses are blooming. Then a bummer, Teresa talks about her roses all the time. They're all out there blooming. If she's like, "What happened? They're all gone." Neighbor next door robbed you. Anyway, you know, there was a teacher. I love teachers. I married one. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody. And I love teachers. This teacher, a second grade teacher, gave her class a lesson on the magnet, say magnet, what it does. So the next day, she does a test, and she includes the question. "My full name has 6 letters, and the first one is an M. I pick up things. What am I?" And she was surprised when she got all the papers back to find out 50% of them said mother instead of magnet. Moms pick up stuff. I like that one. It's like, forget the magnet. Mom picks up. Just saying. But here's just a few more for you. Somebody said it takes about 6 weeks to get back to normal after you've had a baby. Okay? Somebody doesn't know that once you're a mother, normal is history. It's gone. There's no more normal. Someone said you learn how to be a mother by instinct. Someone never took a 3-year-old shopping. Somebody said being a mother is boring. Someone never rode in a car driven by a teenager with a driving permit. It's anything but boring. Someone said good mothers never raise their voices. Someone never came out the back door just in time to see their child hit a golf ball through the neighbor's kitchen window. I broke some windows, seriously. I'll never forget. I should forget it. It's behind me. Somebody said, you can't love the 5th child as much as you love the 1st child. Somebody doesn't have more than one child. Since me and Teresa are both the 6th child, then they definitely. Somebody said books can help a mother find all the answers to parenting questions. Somebody never had a child stuff beans up his nose. Somebody said the hardest part about being a mother is labor and delivery. Somebody never watched their little baby get on a bus the first day of kindergarten. Hello. Somebody said a mother's job is done after her last child leaves home. Somebody never had grandchildren, grandmothers. Hello, somebody in the house. No, it's there. And the last one, somebody said your mother knows you love her, so you don't need to tell her. Somebody isn't a mother. That's what I got to say about that one. Anyway, enough of those. I really want to talk about Mother's Day. I want to talk about a mother's faith. And I want to talk about some of the great people in history as well. Some of those people are men. But I want you to know that, you know, how many people in history really owe their fame to the faith of their mother? If my mother wasn't a praying mother, I should have been dead. I went off cliff in cars. I had crazy things. I can tell you a story. I had to do a sermon one time, how many times I should have been dead before I got born again, because I was almost killed so many times. But I really believe my mother kept me on the planet. My mother's prayers, my mother's faith. I got saved at 21 years old, and those couple years before I got saved were crazy. And mother's prayers are powerful, and a mother's faith especially. Well, 2 Timothy 1:5 in the Amplified Bible, it says this. It says, I'm calling up memories of your sincere and unqualified faith, the leaning of your entire personality on God in Christ in absolute trust and confidence in his power, wisdom, and godliness. A faith that first lived permanently in the heart of your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice now. And I'm fully persuaded that dwells in you also, Timothy. Paul was talking to Timothy, but he's basically saying, you inherited something from your grandmother and from your mother spiritually that's in both of them, that's in you, and you really didn't do anything to get that. That faith just was passed down. And if you read your Bible and you look at David, and it talks about, for David's sake, I'll spare the foolishness down to his kids and his grandkids, there is a faith that's a blessing and seeds that were sown that come down, good seeds to multiple generations. Somebody say amen to that. Because some of us are walking in the good seeds of our mothers and our grandmothers and our great-grandmothers' prayers. Somebody needs to give a clap and a shout out right now. Hello, somebody. So there's men in history that have exerted greatness and good for our world, but you really need to look back behind that great person and look at the mother. The mother of George Washington, and we all know what George Washington did to impact our nation, she would practice each morning to spend an hour in prayer and devotion and Bible study before attempting to conduct a morning worship service with her family every day. Hello, mother of George Washington. You're awesome. How about the life of Abraham Lincoln? Abraham Lincoln, it's known about Abraham Lincoln that Abraham Lincoln's mother was on her dying bed, and on that bed she asked him, will you promise me never to use tobacco? He's 12 years old. Never use tobacco or alcohol, because she's seen how the tobacco and alcohol use of others had really messed up their lives. So Abe said, yeah, I promise not to. So Abraham Lincoln never touched tobacco or alcohol. And we know how Abraham Lincoln affected our world. But the backstory, and what we might not know in this thing, is that, do you know that Abraham Lincoln, he wasn't just elected president. He faced a defeat and defeat and defeat and defeat in Congress, defeat. And he was so depressed, they said, take all the sharp things out of his room. A guy could commit suicide. What if he was a drinker? He might never become who he became. We might have never had what we had and the effects in our world. Hello, somebody. Are you with me? You got to go back to his mother, not just him. And we need to look that, and I just say props up to mothers. Let's just give them a snap. Can we all just give moms a little snap, snap? Moms, Abraham Lincoln's mom. How about John and Charles Wesley? John Wesley, look what John Wesley did. And if you look at his mother, oh my goodness, what an amazing woman. So there's amazing testimonies of influential, godly mothers. And often when God needs a man of worth, he clearly first sought out a godly woman to make such a man. Hello, I'll say it to this side. When he really wanted to make somebody who was going to impact the world, he first sought out the godly mother. Oh, they get it over here. Think about when God chose Mary to come to Mary to birth Jesus. Hello, Jesus had a beginning, and he looks on the earth and he picks Mary. So this, we're going to start today. We're going to start in Luke chapter 1, verse 26. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. Having come in, the angel said to her, rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. But when she saw him, she was troubled at what he said and considered the manner of greeting. She considered, what kind of greeting is this? The angel said to her, don't be afraid. Say, don't be afraid. Mary, for you have found favor with God. two things. Don't be afraid. You found favor. I'm going to focus on those two today. And behold, you'll conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and call his name Jesus. He'll be great. Listen to this. He'll be great. He'll be called the Son of God Most Highest. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever. Of his kingdom there will be no end. And Mary's like, what? How's all that going to happen? She said, how can this be? I haven't even been with a man. I've never had sex with a man. And you're talking to me about my child. What? And the angel says, here, I'll bring clarity. The Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the highest will overshadow you. Therefore, the Holy One who's to be born will be called the Son of God. Oh, that answered everything, didn't it? We just read this, but listen to that. If you're a woman, you're like, well, that really brought clarity. Hello? I mean, and then if you really look at culturally, in the day that she lived in, it was a whole different situation. She had three huge issues. One, she was young. Two, she was poor. And three, she was a woman. So you think God's going to shift history and make a change and greatness is going to come. And nowadays, women are blessed. We have women in ministry. We have women pastors, ministers in this church because God uses women. God used women in the Bible. He used them to shift whole regions. The woman at the well helped evangelize a whole entire city. We had women that planted churches. We had women. Women are awesome. But before that release that we have in a new covenant, women were, anyway, that's a whole nother sermon. They were not treated right. And so Mary's looking at this stuff, and she had to cross all these hurdles. So if you look at it, I mean, she was chosen for the most important or one of the most important acts of obedience in all history. Jesus' act of obedience to go to the cross has to be the greatest act of obedience in history. But her obedience to be able to say, yes, I will carry this child as a young, poor, single mother. I know she was betrothed, but they were still engaged. They weren't having unity as a husband and a wife. So to have and to be found pregnant before you're married, they just take rocks, take you out the city, squish you until your skull's broken and you're dead. And she's saying, yes, I'll carry this child. I mean, you got to understand, Mary was like, something was going on here. And, you know, as moms, you may feel like you may lack the ability and the experience or education or something that you think makes you an unlikely candidate to be used of God. Hello. But God will use you. And we need to just don't limit God's choices. You need to trust him. So if you look at who God chose in the Bible, you'd go, I mean, my mom had 10 kids. I was the least likely choice of any of them to be used where I am. If you had to lay them all out, you'd go, surely you would have picked one of my brothers, one of my sisters. It's like, are you kidding me? Why would he pick me? I look like the least likely choice. But I guarantee you that when God anoints somebody and puts a mission on them, the devil's going to work overtime to try to get them off mission and to try to get them deformed instead of falling into what God's called them for. So we can't limit God's choices by agreeing with the devil instead of stepping up like Mary did. Today I want to look at a mother's faith. I want to identify a few things Mary did. So one thing is Mary, something she had to take, say take. Two is something she had to find, say find. Three is something she had to believe, say believe. So she had to take something, find something, and believe something. Number one, mothers who take courage birth miracles. Now, obviously, she birthed Jesus. She took courage because the first thing the angel said is, don't fear. The opposite of fear is courage. You can't take fear and courage at the same time. It doesn't work. They're opposites. You're either going to partner with fear or you're going to partner with courage. He said, don't be afraid. Be courageous. Basically, she had to take fear. She had to step across the line. She had to put a stake in the ground. She had to say, no matter what happens to me, I will obey what God is saying. Can anybody relate to anything I'm saying today? You say, well, that was huge. Well, yes, but it just set the marker that you can run with. Mothers take courage. And mothers who take courage, they birth miracles. So he said, do not be afraid, for you have found favor in God's sight. She chose to take courage or yield to fear. She had two choices. The angel looked, said, I see fear coming on her. First of all, to see an angel would make you afraid anyway, but whatever. And she had a choice to accept fear or faith, and she decides to take courage. So she chose to take courage, and so mothers who choose to take courage step into God's field of dreams. And moms know how to step into dreams. Dads are wired differently than moms. This is not putting someone down. This is a fact. A man's first response is usually logical second part emotional. Your first thing is to logic out reason. When you're evaluating something, you say all the facts. But mothers are first part emotional and second part logical. Isn't an insult, it's saying how they process. So they can see something and just say, I could believe this. And a man is like, how the heck is that going to happen? I don't know if you've had this conversation, if you're married, and if you're not married, learn that. And it's about an 80% rule. Sometimes it's opposite with them, but about 80% of the time, 80% of women are emotional first part and logical second point, and about 80% of men, you see what I'm saying? It's not the complete rule, because sometimes it's backwards. But the point is that women, mothers, you have something on men, is you won't let your brain disconnect what God's saying. She just took courage. She didn't have to analyze it, figure it out, and try to figure out how it made sense, because having a baby without having sex doesn't make any sense. Hello, somebody. And none of it. She's like, really? Seriously? You're going to use me for the Messiah, the greatest? We've all been praying for the Messiah. We've been waiting for the Savior. The whole nation's waiting for deliverance. We're under the oppression of this Roman oppressive government. Who's going to break through? Me? You're choosing little old me? Do you know who I am? Like Gideon? It's like me? I'm the youngest. I'm the least. There's all these things that could have come out of her mouth, but they didn't. Mary chose to take courage, and we need to choose to take courage just like mothers who take courage. Mothers can stand and take courage for things that they don't make any sense at all. A mother will stand up for their child like no tomorrow. A mother's like, I'm serious. Like, I love the outdoors. The one thing I fear is a mother bear. More than a full-grown grizzly. The full-grown grizzly is way bigger than the mother. One time I saw a grizzly bear on a log in the woods. I looked at it. People are taking pictures. I'm like, you are foolish. Because there is a baby grizz. There's a mama grizz. And that little baby started making that noise. And I'm like, I am out of here. Serious. I was afraid. Because I was like, I'm out of here. When mama comes, someone's going to die. And these people are taking photo ops. Oh, he's so cute. I'm like, you're foolish. I am out of here. Do you ever watch Jurassic Park? It's like the T-Rex. I'm like, have you seen Jurassic Park? What are you doing? This isn't a photo op. Mama bears. Hello. Been to Yosemite all these times, seen tons of bears, been around bears. But if there's a baby in the scene, I am like cautious. Because mamas don't mess around when it comes to messing with their baby bears. Hello? It's like you can be a mother and then you start messing with the kids. Like, now I'm a mother bear. It's like, woo, watch out. Another degree, a whole nother gear. So Mary chose to take courage. And when she did, she stepped into a whole nother playing field. You see, they opened the door to the miraculous. And the miraculous is knocking, just looking for someone who believes so the miraculous can break onto the scene. God was just looking, who's going to be the one where my son is going to come onto the scene? But God is still releasing miracles, and he's looking for someone who will believe. Will moms believe in their kids against everything they see? My mom had 10 kids. I was the least likely to do anything. I was a rebel. I was like, if you evaluated all my brothers and sisters, you'd be like, that one? And I don't think so. He'll surely going to use someone else. But my mom believed in me when no one believed in me. I remember when I was doing really bad and I was messing up and people were talking stuff and saying I was going to be a messed up kid and this, that, and the other thing. And my mom just stood, and I'll never forget my mom just saying, she said, you can do anything. They put me in a lid and said, you'll do this. My father said, you're a loser, you'll always be this, you'll never be anything. He put a lid on me. My mom said, you could do anything you want to do. What do you want to do, Danny? Now, there's good dads who don't do that, but my dad didn't do that. But my mother released the potential in my life, because I never forgot that she believed I could do anything. And when it came to when I finally got born again, then I really understood my mother's encouragement, because she was born again 7 years before I was born again. Then I start reading the Bible and I'm like, yeah, that's what the Bible says. And my mom released something over my life that was such a blessing. Mary's released something. Moms, you when you take courage, you have something that you release over your kids. Moms, you guys, you're awesome. She Mary, when this happened, she took courage and she stepped out on, she suddenly, how many of you guys like sports? How many of you like the all-star team? Suddenly Mary connected with the all-star team. Okay? And suddenly, like with Abraham, pun intended, he looks at all the stars and God's saying, here's your descendants. And he believed, because he had faith, he believed. And Mary connected with something, with this team. And just like Abraham, because before he was Abraham, he was Abram. In Genesis 15:1, the angel said, do not be afraid, Abraham. I am your shield, your exceeding great reward. Actually, God was speaking to Abraham, and the word of the Lord came to him. He said, do not be afraid. Our first step is we have to not partner with fear. We have to not receive fear. We need to win fear. We need to take courage in the face of fear. So mothers, you have to take something first. There's something you have to step into. And Abraham chose to take courage. Mary chose to take courage and didn't yield. Think about Joshua. Joshua's coming after Moses. So you're going to be the leader. He's like, after Moses. And then God speaks to Joshua, Joshua chapter 1. He says, have I not commanded you, be strong, be of good courage. Do not be afraid or be dismayed, for the Lord God is with you wherever you go. God told Joshua, it's not even optional. And she knew these stories. It's not even optional, Joshua. If you want to be successful, if you're going to be a winner, you need to be courageous. And Mary, she knew these stories. She took it. And even as he challenged her, he's challenging us today. Mothers display great courage in the face of challenges. There's mothers that have done amazing feats of strength, where a mother got in a car wreck and the car's on the baby and the mom lifts the car off her child. Adrenaline pumping in her veins, and she lifts the car off the child beyond what anyone could leg press. I mean, hello. Moms have done some amazing things because they're moms. And I just applaud that. Mary responds, and hear this. I love how the Passion Translation says it, Luke 1:38. Mary responds saying, this is amazing. I will be a mother for the Lord. As his servant, I accept whatever he has for me. May everything you have told me come to pass. And the angel of the Lord left her. I mean, this is her. I will be a mother for the Lord. As his servant, I accept whatever he has for me. May everything you've told me come to pass. The angel just gets back and he's like, you're back awful soon. You were on a mission. What happened? She's got it. No, she's got it. She's the right one to pick. I mean, she's basically like, she's already got it. She took the courage. I laid it out there, told her don't be afraid. She's already got it. She stepped right up to the plate. Can you imagine? He's on a mission. It's like, yeah, she's got it. She's the right one. God's like, I knew that. So history has a long list of people who knew they had to take courage, and Mary was one of them. She knew about Jeremiah. Jeremiah was afraid of faces. Jeremiah 1:8, it said, do not be afraid of their faces, for I'm with you. So with Jeremiah, it was insecurities. And sometimes that's us. We face insecurities. With Gideon, he was afraid of oppression of an army, and he was hiding to even get food. And God comes to him and says, peace be with you, because he was yielded to fear. I like Daniel's illustration. Daniel was seeking the deliverance of a nation. This is more like Mary's situation. They needed a savior. They needed the Messiah to come on the scene. And Daniel's praying. And Daniel 10:12, he said to him, do not fear. First thing, do not fear. I don't know if it's because the angel was so intimidating or if it's just because, you know, your first tendency, an angel shows up on the scene, is be like, oh, blah, 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 blah. But he said, do not fear, Daniel. From the first day you set your heart understanding to humble yourself to your God, your words were heard, and I have come because of your words, your prayers. Daniel took courage, and he prayed courageously, even to the threat of lions. I mean, basically, they said, if you pray, you're going to die. We're going to throw you in with the lions. If you pray, and they set him up, knowing he's going to go and pray on purpose, so when he went to pray, they're watching so they could catch him, throw him in with the lions, and Daniel would get killed. And Daniel's like, I'm still going to pray. That's courage. That's the kind of prayer moms have. It's like your baby's going to die. It's this. It's like, no, he's not. Hello, there's babies living even in this church where they said, you're going to die. And some mom stepped up and said, not my baby. Do you know my God? There's a difference because I'm going to step up to the plate and take courage. The second thing, Mary not only stepped up to take courage, but, and it's necessary to birth the miraculous, you have to take courage, but two, she had to find something. So mothers who find favor walk in amazing faith. Mothers who find favor walk in amazing faith. So first thing they said was, do not fear. The second thing was, Mary, you have found favor with God. I mean, once she knew she had favor from God, it's like, that's a game changer, isn't it? Have you ever picked teams in school? Like, we have two teams. Like, Patrick, come over here. Like, Patrick's picking teams, and I'm picking teams. Okay, so we're gonna do a team of full contact football, and you get your first choice. I pick him on my team. He's two people on the line. And I'm going to let you go pick someone out of Children's Church. Like seriously, Ben, no. But what if all of a sudden I said, my first pick is Jesus. He's on my team. Then you're like, you got Jesus on your team. We're going to lose. They have Jesus. They have Jesus on their team. Great, great, awesome illustration. Sorry, you should have picked Jesus first. No, he said, I would have if you let me go. I mean, like, seriously, like, Mary, when Mary knew, wait, Jesus is on my team. I found favor. That means Jesus has my back and I have favor. All of a sudden, it's like, oh, we're going to win. But you're outnumbered. We got Jesus. Hello, are you here? It's like, we're going to war. We have Chuck Norris. No. I don't know. The one-man army. Like, really? You know, it's like we're, there's these invasion of aliens. It's like, well, we have Captain Marvel. Hello, somebody. It's like, who's the game changer? Mary just knew, I got Jesus. Can I just tell you? I don't know why moms can sometimes accept it better than dads, but they just know Jesus is on my team. I got the game changer. What she did was she found. The minute she knew, she found favor. So you're like, how do I find favor? Good question. Thank you for asking. You get it from Jesus. And Mary understood this. She knew she found favor. She knew she wasn't alone. Jesus said, I will never leave you or forsake you. Billy Sunday put it this way. He said, there's more power in a mother's hand than in a king's scepter. Just look at Esther. I mean, think about some of the game changers. Think about the people who changed history. Noah is challenged to build an ark. That's pretty challenging, right? You know, there's a whole Noah's Ark replica you can go see. Okay, but he's challenged to build an ark. It's never rained on the earth before. I'm building a boat where it's never rained. I'm building a boat on dry land and it's never rained. Okay, yes, Lord. That's a challenge. But think about it. And how are all those animals, how could I ever get all those animals onto this massive ark? I couldn't get them all here. Couldn't get them to, and then how could I ever get them to obey? I can't even take care of my children right here. You want me to try to call in all the animals in the face? Like, Noah had to have something where he's like, he had to have something. What did Noah have? It says in Genesis 6:8, Noah found grace in the eyes of God. Noah found something. Noah found something. He took courage to build something when it never rained and everybody's laughing at him. He took courage, but he had to find something. He found what Mary found. You have to find favor. You have to find grace. God loves everybody the same, but some people have a little more grace or favor. Hello? But all of us have access to the grace of God. All of us have access to the favor of God. We all have a measure. You think about Moses. Moses gave up the riches of the palace to gain the riches of a kingdom. David comes out of a shepherd's field and gives up this poor life and gets put into a palace with riches. Mary's called this poor girl, and she steps into God could do anything. So you could sit there and say, well, I'm just poor. Look at David. Well, I have so much to get. Well, look at Moses. And I mean, really seriously, the small and great can find grace. And the way we get it is through the forgiveness at the cross. Because the minute we come to the cross of Jesus, the ground is always level at the cross. Rich or poor, the ground is level at the cross. You can still find grace and favor. There's no backstory you can take and say, well, you don't know my backstory. God doesn't even want to know your backstory. He forgives your sins far as the east is from the west. He erases your backstory. If you keep talking about your backstory as if it limits you, then you don't know the unlimited God. You got to find grace and favor. So you've got to take courage, but you got to find grace, unmerited favor. And when you're a child of God and you know, I'm God's kid, he adopted me into his family, and he's pretty bad. I mean, bad to the bone, bad. If you want to mess with me, you get to mess with Papa. My daddy will whoop your daddy. Didn't you ever do those in school? I did. I went to Mission Elementary. We had those conversations all the time. My daddy will do this. My daddy is this. I'm like, my daddy's a major in the military. He'll just shoot your daddy. I didn't really. I'm just joking with you. But kids are like that. They're like, I'm bad because of my association because my dad is big. He's over there. And they really get mouthy when their dad's close enough to hear them. Dad's right there. Oh, you want some of me? My dad's right there. You ain't going to touch me. Are you with me? We got to know who ours is. We got to find God looks at you as his daughter or as his son. You're part of his family. When you become born again and you find forgiveness, when you go to the cross and say, forgive my sins, he forgives your sins and says, now I'm adopting you into my family. You have a whole new inheritance. I'm going to rewrite your whole future. Your history gets rewritten. All of that gets erased. All that stuff gets to be cut off, and you get to walk into what you were created to walk into. So we have to find something. So we have to take something. We have to find something. And no matter where you are, whether you're rich or poor, you can find yourself on God's favor list. Just come to the cross, and you'll find yourself. And the third thing is that mothers who believe see the impossible. In Luke 1:37, he said, for with God nothing will be impossible. And that's when Mary said, so let it be done unto me according to your word. She just said, I don't have to figure it out. I just have to believe. I don't have to reason it out. I just have to believe. This is my problem sometimes. I believe I'm a man of faith, but as a male, I have a short circuit sometimes when Teresa's saying, we just need to believe this. And I'm saying, but, and I want to tell her the reasons of what I'm thinking. Because I'm trying to reason, and she's saying, you need to disconnect your reason and step into faith. She doesn't really say it that way because she's an awesome mother. But she's challenged sometimes with the fact that I want to lean on reason more than I want to lean on. Are you with me? It's because it's just the way we're wired, man. It's okay. But just realize, mom's got to jump on us. And we need to just believe. So we need to take a stand. Men are good. I'll take a stand. I'll stand. I'll be courageous. I'll do that all day long. But are we good at finding grace and favor and figuring out that God's grace and God's favor way outweighs anything we could do for ourselves, anything we could make happen? Forget all that. God goes way beyond that. And then we start just believing. We need to believe something. How about we believe God's word, even when it goes beyond our noodle? See, mothers, they put their belief into action. Mothers put their belief into action. See, faith in action is a faith that's positioned for a miracle. See, faith in action is faith that's positioned for a miracle. We pray for you and say, okay, we're praying for you to get healed. And you go, oh, thank you. Well, stretch it out, move it, do something, position yourself for the miracle, put the thing into action. Because a lot of times Jesus said, stretch out your hand. In the stretching out, the thing gets healed. Go wash. On your way to your wash. You got to do something. But when you put your faith into action and the miracle manifests. I can't tell you how many times when you put your faith into action. And moms, Mary put her faith into action. Moms put their faith into action. And Some people are like, well, I'll believe that when I see that. Can I just tell you, those people don't see a lot. I'll believe it when I see it. Well, you're not going to see it because you don't believe it. It's like you got to believe to see. So we can't be that way. Mary wasn't that way. So we get it. There was only one chose to birth our Lord, this miraculous birth. There's only one virgin birth. There's only one who birthed the Messiah. But you get to still birth the miraculous. And moms are good at just putting their belief into action, putting the prayers behind it. And eternity, someone's eternity is waiting on the other side of us. Just simply, the third thing is to just believe. So Jesus said in John 14:12, I'll just land this plane. He said, most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he'll do also in greater works. God chose this ordinary peasant girl to birth the miraculous, and he'll choose us, ordinary people, to do extraordinary things. If we will only take courage, find grace and favor, and then simply believe what he said. And practical applications to that, the first one is you need to refuse to partner with fear. Mary, he said, do not be afraid. Don't even partner with fear. When fear's on the scene, just say, I will not partner with it. I will not speak it. I will not think it. I won't let it partner in my brain, with my mouth, with my actions. Taking courage is a decision. I said this. It's not a feeling. It's a decision. Nobody feels like facing off a giant. Nobody feels like telling a whole ocean to part. Nobody feels like calling a dead baby to life. Nobody, it's not, it's courage isn't a feeling. Courage is a decision. I will take courage. I will act on courage. I will declare. And fear, when you face fear, fear comes on your emotions. You will feel the opposite. You will feel fear, right? So what your emotions will feel fear, but you can't respond to fear. When you feel fear, probably when you need to take courage is when you're feeling fear. So practical application would be is when you feel fear and your emotions are feeling fear, you need to say, I will make a decision to be courageous. What do I need to do? Because first thing is I refuse to partner with fear. Just refuse to partner with your thinking, with your mouth, and with your actions. And you just have to say, wait a minute. Fear's on the scene. I am not your partner. You are not my God. Okay? And B is you need to go to the cross and get forgiveness. So one, to take courage, you need to just say, I won't partner with fear. But the next one is, if we're going to actually receive, if we're going to find favor, we need to go to the cross to get it. So we need to go to get forgiveness. Forgiveness is the path to favor. Yeah. Forgiveness is the path to favor. If you're sitting here and you're going, I don't know about you, but if you only knew the things I did, well, God knows everything you did. But he wants to forget them all under the blood of Jesus and wipe them all away. Forgiveness is a path to favor. If you want a new identity as a son, as a daughter of God, if you want a new identity to find favor, you find it through the path of forgiveness. And the cross, he already paid for it. You can't suffer. You can't give up anything enough to, you just have to receive it. So the first thing you have to take, but the second thing, you just have to receive it. You have to find it, and it's found at the foot of the cross. So it's simple. Go to the cross. The next one is if we're gonna be able to find favor, find grace, we need to read the Word of God and let our minds be transformed to expect favor. So when stuff happens, we're not like, woe is me, it's probably all going to collapse. This is the beginning of the end. It's like, wait, the Bible didn't say that. Your test is the beginning of your testimony. The Bible says God's a God. We need to know what God says and what God does. And it's like, well, everything looks crazy. We need a miracle. It's like, this is the time when God steps in. I read my Bible. So we walk in favor. So we need to understand the Word of God, have our minds transformed so that the minute that we don't see ourselves in favor, we can start to put ourselves in favor. Ephesians 2:10, we're his workmanship, creating Christ Jesus, so that he prepared good works for us to walk into. So if we're going to walk into him, we need to get it in our mind, no, I'm a masterpiece of God, and he's created something today for me to walk into. There's something good I'm about to walk into. Jeremiah 29:11, God's, it's good, it's not bad. Your future's not bad. It's not all bad out there. You can go outside. You can step outside. You can step onto the mission field of life through the doors. Why? Because it's good, it's not bad. The devil says, it's bad, stay inside today. No, somebody's miracle's waiting on you to take a step out. And that favor will follow you. And the other one is we pray from favor. Once we learn we're favored, we pray from favor. So we don't just pray, God, please. I don't beg God for money and riches and blessing. I declare it. We're blessed. Money comes to us because we're blessed. Because we're blessed, favor comes to us. Because we're blessed, my kids will get the best jobs. My kids will get, right? I'm going to pray from favor, not, are you with me? I'm not pleading and begging for something. I'm just declaring what God already said. God already said you walk in favor, declare it. You can pray from favor. That's a simple, practical thing. Billy Sunday said this. He said, I don't believe there's enough devils, enough in hell to pull a child out of the arms of a godly mother. Moms, there's no devils in hell that can pry your baby out of your arms. You got so much love and you pray over that baby. It's like, you know, you think like you're afraid. The devil's way more afraid of your prayers, moms. And when you get a mom and a grandmom, come on, Polly, you get a mom and a grandma, hello, you're in trouble now. I mean, the devil's already back and he's back down in hell and Satan's like, what the heck? I told you to get out there and mess with that family. He's like, man, not only is Anna praying, man, they got Polly on the scene too. You need to give me a new assignment. Would you give me somebody who doesn't have a mom and a grandma? I can't do both of them. I can't do this thing. Hello, are you with me? Your prayers are powerful. Mom's prayers, grandma's prayers, they're powerful. And we need to understand that we can just simply believe. And moms, you have that grace. Keep praying so that you can simply pray. And the last one, practical app, is mothers never stop believing. And this is the last scripture I'll read this to you. Actually, two scriptures. Here it is. For God, this is in the Passion Translation, Hebrews 6:10 in the Passion Translation. This is so beautiful. Just listen to this. For God, the faithful one, he's not unfair. How can he forget the work you've done for him? He remembers the love you've demonstrated as you continually serve his beloved ones for the glory of his name. But we long to see you passionately advance until the end, until you find your hope fulfilled. So don't allow your hearts to grow dull or to lose your enthusiasm. Come on, moms. Don't allow your hearts to be dull or lose your enthusiasm. I think today there was a prophetic picture of Jesus just breathing on hearts. Don't allow your hearts to grow dull. Jesus is just going to warm your hearts, fire up your heart, stir up your faith today so you can be that mother who walks in faith. Jesus, don't allow your hearts to grow dull or lose enthusiasm, but follow the example of those who fully receive what God has promised because of their strong faith and patient endurance. And the last scripture is just Luke 1:37, for with God, nothing is impossible. Would you stand with me today? With God, nothing is impossible. With God, nothing is impossible. With God, your God is with you. He is for you. Your God is with you. He is for you. Your God is walking with you forward. Your God wants to walk with you. Jesus was Emmanuel, God with us, God in us. When you say, God, forgive me, 1 John 1:9 says that if you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you of all unrighteousness. That means you can get a clean slate and walk out the door with God with you, on your side. That's the best Mother's Day present of all. I just want you just to bow your heads all over the room and just say, Father, forgive me. Everybody, just say, Father, forgive me. The littlest sin to the biggest sin, all of it, I receive forgiveness. Come on, just tell him, I receive forgiveness. Now just listen for a second. Sometimes we just think because it's a little thing, it's no big deal. Anything that separates you from him is a big deal to him because he loves you so much. And he's just appealing that he could have your heart. He wants to walk with you. He wants to protect you. He wants to go before you. He wants to put faith in you that you will walk with incredible faith to do what he's called you to do. Whatever that mission is, that's his heart. He wants to empower you, and he never puts desires in you that he doesn't empower you to fulfill the desire. Godly desires, not crooked desires. But I just pray over you that breath of God. I pray he warm your heart. I pray he would just warm it. I pray wherever sin has made it cold, I pray God breathe on it right now with your power. And I want you just to ask him and say, fill me with your spirit. Fill me with your power, God. Come on, all over the room, just ask him. Fill me with your power. You say, I already am filled. It doesn't hurt to ask him. Fill me with more power. Fill me with more power. Fill me with your spirit. And I pray for you that God breathe on your heart. I pray you just melt away all that stuff. I pray, God, that you could just show them that you've taken people like Paul was a murderer and you forgave him and used him. You took people that were prostitutes, you cleansed them and used them. You took people that were stealing, like an IRS, crooked IRS agent, and you made Matthew a wonderful man of God. You took people like Peter who like was assaulting and had a temper issue and cut a man's ear off, and you forgave him and used him. All these different scenarios, God, he says, I don't see any of that as the hindrance as much as I just need to breathe on your heart and let faith come in so that you know that you could simply believe in the name of Jesus. So I just bless you. In the name of Jesus, would you just lift up a hand? I bless you in your life. I pray you'd walk in God's power. I pray you'd have a new fire in your prayers. I pray you'd have a new warmth in your heart and that you could walk in a fresh faith today. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen.
Thank you for listening to the Sermon of the Week. Be sure to visit summitsanmarcos.com for other exciting content from Summit Church.